The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 206. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
So, people, how's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brian Mungioma.
What's up, people?
Brett Murdoch.
Hey, everybody.
And Adam Vale.
Sucker Free Sunday.
All right, man. Hope you all had a nice weekend. Adam, you said you didn't do shit this weekend, right?
Work-wise, but yeah, I did watch Daredevil.
Yeah,
so
man.
I didn't play any games. I just wound up binging that because, man, that episode 4, what?
Yeah.
That should win awards for best episode of each.
My plan was to watch like 3 or 4 episodes a day. I watched them all on Friday. They couldn't stop.
It was too hard. Yeah, I just kept. Same thing. I was like, I got a burrito, and I was like, I'm gonna sit here. My wife and kids were just watching from. Nope. Next thing, it's like 3 in the morning, still watching.
Still watching them. You know. So my take is, I don't think it's better than season 1, but it's better than season 2. You know.
Yeah.
I like.
If we have time to kill, can I ask a brief question?
Yes.
Is there any nudity in this season? I don't know if this is a spoiler, and I'll tell you why I ask later.
Well, Spider-Man shows up, but besides that, no, there is no nudity.
The reason why I ask is because I haven't started it, season 3, and I just downloaded the whole season on my iPad, and I'm probably gonna watch it on my flight.
Okay.
And I just prefer not watching stuff that has nudity in the airplane because it's just uncomfortable as hell.
I mean, did the last season of Daredevil even have nudity?
Not really. Did the first season?
No, it's mostly language and beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of violence in it, Carlos, if you're worried about that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. You're typical American. You're okay with blood, but you don't mind. But titties, you know, it could be different there.
Yeah, awkward.
There's no nudity at all. Don't worry about it. You're good, man. It's family friendly.
Yeah, man. I'm just worried about some kid sitting next to me and be like, right? God damn it, I can't watch this shit.
Right? Or he's watching it over your shoulder.
Yeah, I know.
So you're okay with him like seeing people beating the fuck out of each other, but if you see a titty, you know?
Yeah, I probably go. I won't get reported for violence. But
yeah, that is true.
What if the guy next to you says spoilers?
Spoilers.
I'd be like, hey,
like stop looking at my shit, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. This is my iPad.
You know,
get your own,
bitch. Oh man! All right, what's going on to everybody in the chizat? We got Barry here holding it down. Kristen too. Mr. Carlos. Carlos, by the way, this is going to be your last throwdown for a while. Period, man.
Yeah, I'm retiring.
That's it, man. He retired to Korea, you know.
Nah, I'm gonna go on a pretty long trip, and I'll be back on when I'll be back. The throwdown that's on the 15th. So yeah, like two weeks of like just missing a lot of shows. So
missing a lot of Red Dead Redemption, man.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm gonna miss. I leave the day before Red Dead Redemption.
Damn, man.
Yeah.
Were the flights like cheaper this time of year? Because I'm like, yo, man, you should have rearranged your shit, you know?
No, that is like just everything aligned for this time. Like,
yeah.
This is like when I could get like significant time off of work and like just different other like things that lined up. But yeah, the prices don't really like. They're more expensive during the summer for sure.
Yeah.
But if I and then the holiday season at the end, but yeah. Should be interesting.
Yeah, man. Bring us some souvenirs, man.
Yeah, man. If you guys if you guys want something, I can get you whatever you guys want. As long as it's
don't legal. Ship it from
Yeah, me, if it's kosher, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or you can ask Adam.
Did you get the 8B though? Remember we were talking about that.
Oh, no. I just, nah. I ended up spending money on some other stuff.
Man, I should just send. I have enough of those controllers to send them to everybody in this fucking room right now.
Yeah, but you don't like sending even a bracelet, so I can't. We can't expect
a controller. The bracelet, the controller, division bracelet, I would
think needs to be in a box. The bracelet you could put in an envelope and just like boop.
Yeah, but that's different though, man. All right, I guess we could start. Adam, actually, this first question is for you, basically. It's tailor-made for you from GMegaForce123. And let me finish the question first. I know you want to jump in as soon as I ask the first part. All right, are wrestling games any good anymore? I played some of 2K's wrestling games, and they seem a bit shit. I remember enjoying some WWF in the arcades, but that might have just been young, idealistic eyes of a ginger child too stupid to see shit in front of my face. It seems like Fire Pro Wrestling was a moderate success, mainly through a wealth of customization options. But other than that, doesn't seem like there's any good games. Were most wrestling games just shit to begin with, or are we just stuck in a steep ditch? Take it away, man. This is all you.
We are stuck in a ditch. The games that he remembers in the arcade are gone. They did try to make one. It was called WWE All-Stars. If you can find a copy of that, it's on PS3, Xbox 360. Play that. That's a ton of fun. It's also on 3DS and Vita. Awesome game, WWE All-Stars. But what we're getting now, these wannabe Sims, not so great. They add horrible story. They put too much into the controls, and it just gets real janky, and just it never turns out the way you want it to turn out. So it's pretty sad. With the New Japan Pro Wrestling, the 16-bit design looks great, but that has a steep learning curve. It's not what you think. It looks simple, but it's nowhere near simple. It's a lot of pre-pressing scheme button together to get a suplex and stuff. It's definitely a learning curve. It's fun if you're willing to get over the learning curve. The main reason why a lot of people just go with the 2K series is because there's just no other competitor. That's it. You know, back in the day, we had all kinds of weird spinoffs. Remember Backyard Wrestling and some other promotions would get deals. ECW got one with Acclaim, and you know, a bunch of them. It doesn't mean they were good, but there were options. We don't have options right now. They pretty much have a monopoly, WWE, with this 2K. And it's sad that they're producing this horrible product. Just so boring. And mainly because I guess I play all of them. And this one I passed on, but I've played all of them that realized, like, wow, this is the same every year, just an updated roster. So like what happens with sport games is what's happening. You know, and they even had a big head mode in this one and zombies and stuff. I mean, it's like as if they're like running out of ideas. I'm like, all right, let's just throw whatever. You know, instead of just going back to the roots and just make it fun. No, stop with the whole trying to make it simmy and just make it fun. That WWE All-Star game was your typical classic arcade over the top. It's so fun. That game was awesome. And they only made one. And I'm assuming maybe the sales or whatever, but that was a fun game. Build on that. Bring more of that in instead of what they're producing now. So that's what's going on. And if you want to get one, you're like, yeah, I want to get that fixed. I want to get that feel. Wait till it's on sale. You know, get it on a Black Friday. Don't pay full price, because if you do, you're gonna get bitter. Once you're playing, you're like, I pay. The online never works. That's right off the bat. They offer, you'll see on the box, you can do Royal Rumbles, you can do tag cages. It's going based off all the people's connections. Imagine having six guys in the ring, you know, four guys in the ring, all different connections. It's bad. Even if you try to do a tag match, no one plays by the rules. So, yeah, you're supposed to have one guy in the apron and another guy in the ring. Well, the guy in the apron runs around to the other side, pulls you down, starts fighting with you on the side. You know, it just drags it out. It never turns into what it's, and it's a shame. It's a shame, because they've had so much time to work and build on. They haven't done anything. So that's it. Just get it on a deep sale. But I'm sorry. There's nothing else. And go find it. Unless you're willing to go back to your 360 or PS3, get WWE.
All right, man. Next question here. Are we smarter and more skillful than today's younger gamers? I ask because I don't see teenagers this generation playing and mastering games like Mega Man, as well as other more challenging platformers and strategy games that require you to think. All I see are these kids playing the general high graphics QTE FPS button mashing games and Fortnite. Yes, I know it's a new generation, and this is basically what they are growing up with, but when I was younger and in my teens, I was very curious and going back to see games before my time and playing them. Before we go into a little story that kind of gives context, right, I let my nephew, when he was 10 years old, play Sonic, the first Sonic the Hedgehog game, right? I played the fuck out of that when I was 11, right? He couldn't figure it out. Like, it was too hard for him. He didn't know when to jump. He didn't know nothing. You know, I'm like, the fuck? You know, and then when I had him play Tetris game, I played a lot when I was like 9 and 10. He was like, how does this work? I don't get it. So I could understand where he's coming from. It, you know, like, I granted, I don't really talk to a lot of kids these days, so I don't know. But I could see, like, I guess the skills lessening because games are not as challenging as they used to be. And plus, there's so many games out there. Kids don't really have, like, they don't have the need to stick with one game and get really good at it. They're skipping around all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
It's a different time.
Yeah, it is different. Yeah, we would be the exact same way. And conversely, if kids from nowadays grew up when we did, they'd be on the same level as us now. You know what I'm saying? It is all about the time. You know,
it's like talking to an older guy who says he grew up playing stickball and pinball. You know, and he's like, "Yeah, pinball, you got to master. You got to get these high scores. It's a different time. It's a different time." What they grew up in, what we grew up in, we didn't have the luxury of all these save functions and doing all this stuff till later when some console games actually supported with codes, you know, a Mega Man, remember, with the little balls?
You have to symbols.
But that's it now. That save state, hell, you don't even have to, you can just pause your game and walk away. You don't even have to save, you know what I mean? And come back and resume, and everything is just there.
Yeah, and if you're not good at a game, you could just drop it and play another one. You weren't just stuck with a game, you know?
Change the difficulty.
Yeah. We also realized that, you know, it was our generation that created that.
Yes.
For the new generation.
That is true.
It was our generation that was frustrated with a lot of the things that were from the previous, you know, from when we grew up. So, you know, there's save states, there's infinite lives, there's all kinds of stuff. So, yeah. And the thing is that, you know, it just seems like nowadays things are a little bit more, games are a little bit more disposable despite their price. Back in the day, you know, you used to spend, you know, they were more than what they currently are. And, you know, your parents would just buy you one, maybe two, you know, in a year. And you had to make those things last.
I remember many years ago, I forgot who it was. I wish I remembered. There was some interview and they were talking to a developer similar to that. He was talking because he was been in this industry for a long time. Damn, I wish I remembered his name. And he had talked about, because he made games for the arcade, and he talked about save games and save states. And he said that was always there later on because that was a cheat code. We even had developers use those things. Mm-hmm. The reason why that wasn't implemented early on is because you're an arcade. We were trying to get your money. Mm-hmm. We want you to fail and put in a quarter and play again. What if you always put in a save spot? Let's say if we had that and you put in a quarter to keep continuing, you could beat the game. We don't want you to beat the game. We want you to keep playing, and if you lose, start over, you know, and keep playing. Like Gauntlet and stuff. Just keep playing. So,
well, that's the other thing. I read this years ago, too. A developer was saying, it's like, yeah, we're making our games easier because we actually want people to see everything we put into games. Like, we don't want just people to see the first hour. We want them to see the whole thing. So that's why we, you know, it's like we created this grand story or whatever. It's like, and people are not going to finish our game. No, we're going to make sure they finish our game. You know, so yeah, it is different, but I do believe that modern gamers, if they were back in our day, they would acclimate just the same way we did. You know, if that's all you got, you're gonna get good at them. You know, just the way it is. So it's not like just I don't think. Yeah, so I don't think it's a matter of like we're better gamers. I mean, maybe we were, but if they were in our shoes, it'd be the same exact thing. You know,
it's like watch King of Kong. That's the best example to watch that, to see these two guys just keep replaying.
But think about it like this. Say if those guys were born nowadays, they wouldn't be king of nothing. They'd just be playing every game. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, they'd probably jump onto something else.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? What do you say about this?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, the context is there. We could only master one game at a time. I mean, games weren't even, the prices weren't even standardized. Like certain games were like even $80, and that was an 80s money, you know. So you get your game right, and that's it. So you're gonna play the hell out of it. I remember I bought Ninja Gaiden. I didn't even turn off my NES until I beat that shit. I kept that shit on at night, put a little masking tape over the red light so my mom didn't know the shit was on. Yeah, you keep playing it. But that was the time. Like, yeah, if we grew up now with save states and infinite lives and whatever, we probably would take that stuff for granted. So, yeah, I've seen the videos where they put kids in front of, like, original Super Mario Brothers or Mega Man or Castlevania, and they have no idea what to do. They're like completely lost. Now, granted, there's something to be said because they don't experiment with anything. Like, how do I jump? And then they walk around and then they get killed. And then it's like they don't like just, I mean, the control only has two buttons. So just hit them and you'll figure it out, you know? So it's kind of weird that they don't really explore what to do. And because those games didn't tell you what to do, there wasn't a tutorial level where it's like, push A to do this, push B to do this, press your shoulder button to do that. Every game does that now. Every game has a walkthrough, hand holding stuff, to you how to play before you play.
Yeah, well, because remember, back in the day, like, reading the instruction manual was required because it would teach you how to play the game.
Remember, remember, not reading it was kind of a point of pride.
Who did that? Nobody did that.
I knew people that did that.
Nah, I didn't.
But, dude, I don't need to read the fucking instruction manual. I'll figure this shit out.
Never heard of that, because usually you buy the game and on the bus stop, you know, on the bus ride back home, train ride, whatever, you read the manual, you know, and that's how you figure out how to play the game. Nowadays, they just tell you everything. Like, basically, I remember telling Manny about this in, like, the mid-2000s. I'm like, dude, the instruction manuals are, like, useless now. They just tell you everything now, you know?
They're collector items now.
Yeah, exactly.
People are constantly trying to get a whole game set with the box and the manual. What? You got the manual? $20 for it.
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting one, but I never heard of that. People always read the instruction manuals, the people I knew, at least.
Especially if
you know?
Had, like, Metal Gear, first one with all those gadgets and goodies.
Because remember, back in the day, video games were still considered, like, regular games, and regular games, you had to read the instructions before you could play and shit, you know? Unless you had somebody tell you how to do it, you know? But yeah, it's just different generation, that's all it is. It's not that we're smarter or anything, it's just, you know, it's just the way it is, man.
Yo, man, we smarter.
Yeah, we smarter. We're better. You know, we're definitely forged in fire. That's for sure. But again, I think those guys would be in the same position we're in if they grew up when we did. You know what I'm saying?
It's like talking to somebody who drove around in cars that only had manual steering, you know, manual driving. And they're like, what, you got automatic? You're lazy? You know, you don't know how to drive manual?
Yeah, but if we went back to those times, we'd be in manual too, you know? That's just the way it would be. All right, let's move on here. Black Metal Gamer. So I guess this is appropriate given the month we're in. What are your scariest moments in games, whether spooky or horror or whatever? So I guess just, you know, your top scariest moments in games.
You know, the dog.
The dog. I was going to say that. The dog in Resident Evil.
The
dog, you know?
In Resident Evil, yeah.
Yeah, when that shit burst through the window, man, that shit scared the fuck out of you. You know,
everything bursted through the window of that game. You know, the zombies. Like, oh, shit.
Like, fuck!
Just trying to get somewhere. Fuck.
Yeah, and in more modern times, and it's still Resident Evil, when I played Resident Evil 7 in VR, man, nothing's gonna top that shit. That was fucking scary, man. I'm over there screaming like a girl in front of PR and stuff. That was embarrassing, man.
they're like, are you okay, sir?
And the girl whispered in his ear.
Damn.
But you a punk bitch.
One moment in Resident Evil 7 when the fucking, I forgot his name, the dad guy, like, just runs through the fucking wall.
Oh.
I'm like, what the, like, they, I don't know how they did it, but they just timed everything so well. Like, all the little jump scares and stuff like that.
And they took that from Resident Evil 2, when Mr. X bursts through the wall. When you leave the room, you think, ah, I got away from that son of a bitch. He comes bursting through the fucking wall. Coming. Oh, shit! And that was with bad camera angles back in the day. Them tank controls, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Resident Evil 7 in general is fucking scary, man. Like, the whole game, you know?
Shit, even the beginning when you're just going inside the house.
No, son.
Like,
no.
The way you just go inside, just crawling in, it's like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, dude. Oh, man.
You know what would be cool? If we could find somebody who knows. Like, yo, I got this game. You want to play it? Yeah, okay. Nothing. And see how far they get.
In VR?
Just in anything. Just
in VR, yeah.
All together. Don't tell them anything about it. You know, it definitely has a creepy vibe once it starts, but see how far they get.
Yeah, what's up, Brett? You're like, psh.
That was me yelling at the cat.
Okay. Bad cat.
You're like, psst. Established dominance.
Yeah, right.
Yes, in my opinion, mine, because this is, you know, when something's, when it just sticks in your head when someone brings. You ever play The Suffering?
No, but I know
that
about
was
that game.
In the prison, right?
Yeah,
the prison. Yeah, There was this one scene where, so you're in the prison, you have a flashlight, batteries run low, you got to find more batteries. It's one of those games. And then eventually it starts dying, you have to like swiggle it. Anyway, this is one part I'm walking, you hear a lot. There was an electric chair. I'm like in a control room, right? So so when it's sort of like, I don't remember, I pressed a button. I think I did press a button to like behind you, right? And you see yourself, somebody just like walking real creepy right behind you coming up. And I backed up real quick and there was nothing. There was a lot of those moments, but that really stuck with me because I've never experienced that in a game. I've seen that done in a...
Yeah, I'm seeing some stuff, obviously, for Dead Space, the necromorphs, you know? Mm-hmm. Shit is crazy. Manhunt was just unnerving, man. It's always creepy, but it was just unnerving, man. Because it was constant tension, you know?
If they could remake that...
Oh. Oh my God. Rockstar, what's up, man? Bring it back. I don't think I'm people can handle that game nowadays, man. Be too real.
It's that. Yeah, all the executions. Oh.
Go ahead, Carlos.
Are you sure that you're not going to be playing that with Last of Us Part 2? That's what those skills are starting to look like.
The Last of Us did have some of those type of execution when the guy was like, no, man, stop, you know, talking to you. And stuff.
Yeah, Carlos, go ahead.
I'm not going to mention Friday the 13th again. there's, what else? Yeah, like Dead Space is just in general, like there's a lot of parts that are pretty spooky.
Speaking of saves, remember that was the thing the EA was talking about. They were going to get rid of the pause.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that? Yeah, that was a big thing that they were like, oh, they're working. And that was one of the ideas. If you died, you would have to restart over. But they wanted that whole stress intensity feeling. It's like you're knowing that you can't pause. You can't
walk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Here's one from Matt Wheaton. I know Chris and Brett will like this one. He goes, don't forget the catacombs in Dark Souls. That area is Nightmare Central.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
A lot of stuff in Bloodborne is Nightmare Central. Like, you wake up, and before you can even get to the dream, you have to fight, like, a freaking werewolf, and you just have your fist. So I'm punching this son of a bitch, you know?
Yeah, right.
That game is full of Nightmare. Dark Souls, like, the Bloodborne DLC, where you fight the guy for the Moonlight Sword. What's his name? Ludwig? That fight was crazy. He looks like some kind of fucking donkey cross with Godzilla. I don't know what the fuck he was. He was crazy.
It's hilarious. What about the rest of you guys? Horror stuff. Brian, what about you?
I say mostly like the first hour or so of Fear was like really intense. Like just being like not chased around, but I'm like this like creepy like 7-year-old girl just like pop out of nowhere and just like just creeps you out. The worst one was when you like go down this ladder. And you know how like in some games when you go down like the ladder it orientates you to like look at where the ladder is, and then you start going down, and then it's just there. Like, I just froze. I'm like, do I go back up the stairs or do I just stay at the bottom of the stairs? Like, what the fuck do I do? I don't know. Yeah, I can handle that. It's actually one of the reasons why I actually stopped playing it. and then I grew some balls and I finished it.
This isn't a horror game, but Inside for me was kind of spooky. Just like the whole atmosphere.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I don't know. Like it's a game that is not. It's not a horror game. It's not trying to scare you, but it's like it suffocates
you. Definitely designed like it feels like a horror.
Yeah, it's oppressive. Yeah.
Yeah, waiting for that to happen. Oh, you gotta go to the attic for some more info. Yeah, that's where it's gonna happen.
Limbo was kind of like that too. That really creepy black and white vibe it had going on.
Did die, so it was.
Oh yeah, and it was brutal death too, man. It was shit. They kill that little boy, you know?
And that's not a spoiler, people. You will die a lot in that game.
Yes.
It's a puzzle.
Yeah. Brett, did you go? Or are you still chasing away your cat?
No, I went.
All right. Okay. So let's move on here. This is an interesting one. If you could take a genre that you don't like and add your own touches or elements to make it likable, what genre would that be and why?
I know. I would redo the fighting genre and essentially have a game in between fights, even if it's just like moving to your next fight or moving through a series of opponents. I don't see why it needs to stop and drop back between matches. And I think that would, like, they kind of did that with Absolver in a Dark Souls fashion. I don't think that's entirely necessary. But, you know, even like a hub, like a small couple of Yakuza-style blocks, you know, like if you want to play an online fighting game, like you know, have it like approach and then just, you know, get into a brawl kind of thing.
Do you like what they did in Dragon Ball Fighters, where between each match you're like in a big arena and you're talking to other people? You're like little chibi versions of your characters, but you could still do that at least.
Yeah. I think more seamless, like it's just weird to me that the game skips to the beginning of the fight. Like, I like how Absolver did it in the sense that it was a very 3D fighter, but it was more you approach somebody and you kind of see somebody, and then you kind of the area that you're in is the arena, and you beat the shit out of them, and then you have a fight, and then you kind of see another opponent, you walk up to them and you have a fight. It felt very much like a fighter, but it had like a Dark Souls-y in between. I'm not saying it has to be Dark Souls-y, but I'd really like there to just be set, like, I don't even want to have like a waiting room. I just want it to be kind of seamless. Like, I'd love to have I'd love to have a Soul Calibur game that basically it's like a small hub, and you just roam around, like you fucking see somebody else and you dial in on them, like locking onto somebody in Dark Souls or something like that, and that kind of just initiates the match. And you have a 3-round match, and you respawn right there, and at the end it determines one of you is a victor and one of you just, you know, just run off into the fields. So that way you're like walking through, like looking, you know, you can hang out in the forest and wait for challengers to come in, or just beat the shit out of people that you meet. Like, it shouldn't be a huge area either. Like, you don't need like a goddamn Skyrim size area, just like a small town. And I'd love it, you know, like do a portion of Yakuza or something like that, where, you know, it's like a Shenmue block or something like that, and you walk around like street brawling the shit out of people. But actually do, you know, the and that's one of the things I liked about Absolver, was that it had real, what I felt like were in-depth fighting mechanics. But even then, it was kind of a brawler fighter hybrid. So I would be perfectly fine with them taking that approach to the fighting genre and doing a full, you know, combo system, you know, depth, everything like that, different characters, that kind of thing.
Cool. All right. What about the rest of you guys?
Okay. Hold on. I'll add one to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd actually like them to take a battle royale approach to fighting games.
Explain.
Exactly what I mean. Like, you
have, while you're trying to survive as opposed to just shooting.
Oh, okay. So it's like
a big fucking arena, and they release 100 of you, and it's a fucking free-for-all. That's fighting, and the area shrinks, forcing competitors down until there's only one standing, last man standing.
Brett, please don't give these developers ideas, because that sounds like something they would totally do. Please don't
come
give
on,
these
you don't think that would be kind of fun?
Fuck no. Get out of here with that Battle Royale nonsense. I don't want that shit. Dynasty Warriors. No, like, chill. Don't give these guys ideas, because the reason I'm saying is because I could legit see them doing something like that. It's like, hey, Battle Royale's great. Let's do that with a fighting game. Oh my God, they're going to do it. They're going to do it.
They're probably going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I might actually play that, man.
I play that.
Like a melee Fortnite.
Buy that for a dollar.
All right. What about the rest of you guys?
I got one. I don't necessarily dislike this genre. Like, I don't really dislike any genre, to be honest. But, for example, first-person shooters, what I would do is I would give them sort of what I would call a true ranking system, meaning Halo used to do this, Halo 2, where there was a ranking system for sort of each playlist. Like, right now, if you play the game, you just rank up because you play the game. But I want people to, like, I would prefer people to rank up just by playing matches against other teams and winning. So I think that aspect of what Halo 2 had is really missing in the first person genre, because you can have more competitive matches in games. Like, you have matches now, like, let's say Call of Duty, you're playing Call of Duty. If someone drops from Call of Duty, like, no one really cares. And I think that's a problem, because I mean, you should go in as a team into a match and finish as a team. But now it's like just in and out, people drop. Like, someone doesn't like how things are going, people drop. But in Halo 2, if you dropped from a ranked match, you'd lose way more experience. And people used to like go ham for these rankings, because, like, let's say you were like level 50, right? You would get like even a special icon. You can brag about it to everyone that's in your friends list or in your clan. So I think adding a ranking system to the first person shooter genre would be pretty good. And not just to play, like,
I want to see an Afro Samurai type ranking system.
How's that one?
So wait, wait, I'm trying to understand. So you're saying, like, when they had the Flaming Skull?
The Flaming Skull? No, that's Halo 3. No. I'm talking about, like, remember, you played Halo 2, right?
Yeah.
Remember, like, there was a ranking system from 1 to 50. And the more you won, the more you increase your level. But if you keep losing, your level will go down.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, did they still do that in some games?
Not enough, man. And not in the big ones. Halo doesn't even do this anymore.
No, they don't do it. But there was Division. Division does that.
Well, that's not a first-person shooter.
No, but it still has that feel of like, oh, when you start losing.
And it's not an RPG.
but yeah, like, I know that still does that, where it's like, hey, we're going to drop your score now. That's the only game I know that does that.
And that's good because it gives people sort of, it gives people precaution to just drop off from matches. Like they'll feel ramifications if they do and just drop their teams off, and it makes people more competitive.
Street Fighter does that. If you keep losing, you keep blowing in rank, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Something similar to Street Fighter would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Matt Wheaton says I'd actually rework "quote unquote" walking simulators into what they should be in the first place: first-person adventure games, like point-and-click adventure, but it's in first person. Yeah, there you go. That works. That's a good way. And, yeah.
Like, for example, Call of Duty is like a perfect example because it's like one of the games that's the most horrible offender, and it's the most popular one. Prestige isn't really that prestigious. Like, if you think about it, it's just people who have enough time to play the game like crazy. It's like, do you have 24 hours out of your day to play this game? You're going to prestige pretty soon.
This is how I knew Call of Duty was shit. I was playing some Modern Warfare 2 online, right? And I fucking stunk. Sucked up the whole place, right? I still leveled up. I'm like, wait, what? How? I sucked.
Exactly.
That's what let me know that.
Gratification. Yeah. That's what people like.
Didn't satisfy me. I'm like, this game is bullshit, you know?
Up, you kill somebody who was on a kill streak, or you assisted somebody, you get a shield for assisting. I mean, it's constant. Hey, you shot your gun 3-4 times and you made some contact with that. Boom, boom, boom. Constantly giving people like it. People like all that shit.
No, I understand that, but to me, it's bullshit, you know?
This was when I was in high school, so maybe my attitude would change to this, but like, let's say you were in a party, right, in Halo 2. And someone in your party was a level 45, like, which is freaking high in anything. People like would be like, oh shit, this guy's 45. That shit's crazy. Like, I don't know. Like, it's weird, but like, people would have more respect for this person because they know how hard it is to get to that level.
Yeah. And if you were,
and if you're playing online and you're like, oh shit, we're playing a competitive match against level 40s, we have to step our fucking game up. That kind of stuff is what I wish was in first.
I don't think they did this in Halo, but I know this was introduced, at least from what I remember. The double XP weekends and getting those bottle caps to add more time. Once that introduced, I knew a lot of people.
So
that way they can get it. And then some people thought that was cheating. Like, yo, I had to grumble triple XP because you bought some mountain. It's like, yeah, that's how it was. Because that was the mountain. It was under the cap. And then you would get 15 minutes or half an hour. If you got, I think it was a half an hour for a 2-liter, and we get, you know, but people would do it.
And that's why I hate. Not hate, but that's why I dislike some aspects of first-person shooters today, because obviously they're not doing these kinds of things because they want to have everyone feel included into the party. You know, it's like they don't care about the competitive nature of the game. They just care about if everyone thinks like they're good enough to like live along in the game.
Well, I think they do care because that's the only reason why they have those championships. They try to make it into an e-sport because they're like, look, you should care about it.
Yeah, but like e-sports, like we had our own version in Halo 2. We had our own version of like e-sports. It's like we didn't have to go to like some convention in some fucking place to play against people. Like we would join a match and it'd be ranked. And if we lose, we're going to lose our freaking level. If we win, we get to gain our level and then we get the bragging rights. But that doesn't exist anymore. It's just a whole bunch of random people getting sorted into a match, and they don't even talk to each other. There's no communication. No one knows each other. Some people are probably watching Netflix while they're doing this because they're just camping in the fucking corner and just waiting for someone to pass by. And it's fucking horrible what's happening in first person shooters. Like there's no sense of competitiveness and camaraderie in that genre.
Unless you have your group of friends. If you have already a crew of people, then that's what you're doing. And those are the ones that usually dominate in squads.
Yeah, exactly. And that's an issue too, because like if you're by yourself, you don't have anybody else who plays a game, you don't get matched up with someone that's even a tenth as cohesive as the buddies are, and you'll lose automatically. You don't have a choice but to lose against those people. But if there's a competitive system where you get matched up with people around your level, and if you lose this game, you're going to lose that level, and that level means something to you, then you're going to fight for that level. But that doesn't exist. So it's just like participation awards.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're trying to give people justification for buying the game.
You know? Yeah. All right. As for because I want to move along here. As for me, I don't really, you know, obviously I appreciate all the questions, but I don't like this question because my thing is like, if you don't like the genre, then don't buy the game. It's pretty simple. Like, because the thing is like, if I were to alter genres I don't like, and there's plenty of genres I don't like, they would just not be that genre at all, which would kind of defeat the purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like for like Overwatch, I'd be like, hey, add a story, add some platforming, add some, and like, it would be so like different. I'm like the thing is like, and Brett, this is based off a little bit of the conversation we were having earlier. It's like, not every genre exists for you, and that's fine. You could just move on, play something you do like. So this whole thing is like, oh no, this needs to change for me. I don't really, let me finish. Cause I see that a lot from gamers. Like, oh, this needs that. This needs that. This needs, I'm like, dude, don't buy the fucking game. Buy something you do like. It's simple, you know?
Yeah, I don't understand what the idea is to try to make a genre into another genre.
Yeah, and people obviously like these games. Just because they're not for me doesn't mean they shouldn't exist. Go ahead, have your fun. I'll buy something else, you know? And I'm just saying that. Yeah, go ahead.
Eliminating the genre, I think they're saying, like, what game should take additional or a different approach.
You may as well eliminate the genre then if you're going to keep changing it.
No. Like in the instance that I propose, like I don't think they should turn all games into all fighting games into like open world free encounter fighting games. I'm just saying I would like an open world free encounter fighting game. That's how you could change a genre that I'm not necessarily a huge fan of into a game that I want to play. Now, I don't think that means they should stop making traditional fighting games for you. I'm just saying that I think it would be a cool thing.
Okay, I think that's where I'm kind of getting lost here, because I'm thinking like, okay, we're changing the whole genre now. You know, that's
the way I'm seeing it. You don't have to change the whole genre.
Like, for example, like Call of Duty, right? Call of Duty, what did they have? That's fucking zombies. What the hell does zombies have to do with Call of Duty? They just add it and people like it, and that's a tweak to the genre, because that's usually taking, you know, horror genre of zombies and smashing it into your combat war shooter.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. But yeah, no, my answer is still the same. I don't need to a genre to change anything. Like, that's specifically for those people. I don't want to fuck things up for them.
No. What? Okay, so answer the question this way. What would you need to change about a genre that you don't like to make it into one that you would?
Mostly adding story, but then I would completely alter the genre. Wouldn't it? Kind of defeats the purpose. That's what I'm saying.
You can say I'd like Fortnite to have story and platforming, or a Fortnite-like game that has story and platforming. That's fine to say. That doesn't mean that they need to change Fortnite to you. It just means like somebody should make that game.
But here's the ticker. I'm glad you asked like that. Even if they do add those things, I still wouldn't play it anyway because I don't like the core gameplay.
Well, but then that's not the answer. Like, a good example is Fallout 76. Like, I like Fallout. I like open world multiplayer games. If you would have asked me, is that something I would like? Absolutely. Do I think it should replace the next Fallout game? No, and it's not. It's just kind of an additional thing because people like me said that they kind of wanted it.
Yeah, and going back to what I said, and that's great. you know, they should give you guys that because you've asked for it. Not what I wanted, but I'm not going to say, oh, don't have it or add this or that for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I just see that too much from gamers. Like, oh, it needs this and that. Then I'll like these games. And like these fucking walking simulating games. I can't stand those fucking games. But if I were to change them to make me like them, they wouldn't be walking simulating games anymore. They'd be fucking action adventure games, you know?
And that's fine as long as you don't change it into a different like you can't be like I want all genres to be fighting games like you can't say that.
But my thing is like basically I'm having a hard time changing a genre I don't like into not okay like what you did with Absolver right or whatever fighting games it's still a fighting game it's still recognized to be a fighting game. I've been thinking about this question all day and I cannot think of any instance where I can change a genre and still have it recognizably be the genre it started off as. I would like every genre I don't like, I would need to make radical changes so it wouldn't even be the genre it is in the first place. Which makes
an MMO.
What about an MMO? The only difference, but it then wouldn't be an MMO because I'm like take away the online aspect, then it wouldn't be an MMO anymore. You know what?
Why?
I'm saying?
What? This is something I don't understand, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier today, but. What is it inherently about the fact that if does other people in your game bother you on a fundamental level?
Not they don't bother me. It's just to me, gaming is a solitary experience. I like that. It takes me away from everything. I could just put myself into the game. No distractions. You add people in there, there's a distraction. And that's fine for certain instances. But for me, it's like when I read a book or watch a movie or watch a TV show, it's just me and that thing. And I enjoy that. You know, I enjoy those instances where it's just me and the world that they're setting up for me. So you add people into the mix, kind of fucks it up. Don't get me wrong. I like talking about those things afterwards with people. But in the moment, I like to experience it on my own. So it's not really that happens anything against it. It's just the way I consume gaming, I like it to be a solitary thing. I get more enjoyment. I feel I get more out of it than with other people. That's where I'm coming at it from. So to answer your question, though, it's like MMO. It's like, yeah, take away the online aspect. Now it's not an MMO anymore. You know, now it's just on. Yeah,
you would think there's some sort of middle ground in there. Like, you like Monster Hunter, even though it's online.
Yes, yes.
But like, the thing is, but in those sorts of situations, you choose whether you are, you know, whether you want to be with somebody online or you can just totally play the game off.
And if you play with other people online, you don't even need to talk to them. They're just NPCs, basically. You know, the obligation is there. Like, I'm going to say a crazy thing right now. When I play online, I liken it to having sex with a gorilla. You ain't done until the gorilla's done. Like, you have no choice in the matter. You're stuck in there. That thing's fucking you. That's it. You're stuck there, you know? You can't just opt out whenever you want, you know? So that's kind of another instance there. But basically, I'm just saying, for me, for a genre I don't like, the changes I would need implement would change it from being the genre it originally began as. So that's why I can't really answer this question. Understand?
I think, look at Yakuza. Yakuza has, it was just a beat-em-up. It was a story beat-em-up. But look at all these other little things they added. They added the dancing for the karaoke. They added the mini games. They added the arcades. That's what I'm getting as what he was talking about. Because maybe some people don't just like beat-em-up type games. I'd say, wow, there's a lot more in this game than just that could make this fun. So I've had people come over and like, oh, I don't want to watch you just do this whole Japanese beat. No, wait. I'm going to this arcade here, and we're going to go bowling. We're going to talk to a chicken. We're going to do all this fun. Oh, okay, and I get to
the chicken.
You know what I mean? I think that's what this whole question was about.
Yeah, like, I mean, you guys can take it wherever you want. I'm just saying it for me. Like, I would need to be, it would need to be radically different. That kind of defeats the purpose. I don't really like when people try to do that. You know, I see it too many times. Oh, they need this that.
In exclusionary terms, though.
Kind of, yeah. Pretty much, because that. But again, maybe I'm not explaining it correctly. I'm just saying for the genres I don't like. In order for you to change it to something I would like, it would not be the genre it originally began as. And I think that kind of defeats the purpose.
Well, no, it would be a hybrid, which would be a new thing.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be the genre it originally began as.
But it could still be that genre. It can be both. They can make more games. There's not a limit on the number of games that they can make.
But if it's both, then it's not the original thing.
Okay, let's say that they were making a brand new game that nobody had ever played in a franchise that nobody had ever heard of from a development team that wouldn't otherwise be working on a game. They just appeared out of thin air to just make this genre-defying game. Like, okay. there's no reason to think, I think that's why we're having problems. There's no reason to think that you couldn't change a genre, but you're having trouble thinking that way because you think it's going to exclude something else. What if this were just completely in addition to?
But again, it wouldn't be the original thing it was supposed to be.
Who cares?
I care, because that's the point of the question to me. That's the whole point. You know,
who cares?
Well, I can understand the point of the question. I'd be like, what would you have to do to change a genre you don't like into one that you do?
If that's how you're saying it, I can understand it. But to me, it's like, you know, I read it as, how do you change a genre into something you would like but still keep it the same genre? So it's a tricky thing for me.
It's a weird sort of thing. It's like you're trying to have your cake and eat it. It's at this point, it's like, well, if you're going to start switching things around, again, it's not going to be that genre of, you know.
Does adding an open world to a driving game make it not a driving game anymore?
No, but that's a perfect example of that. And I'm having a hard time coming up with an example like that. You came up with a really good one for fighting games. That's a really good one for driving games. It's like, hey, it's the same driving game you've always known, just in an open world. The genre is still the same. I'm just, again, I'm a little bit more extreme in the way I'm thinking about it. It's like this is the way I'm interpreting it. It's like, you go, hey, you don't like broccoli. What can we do to, you know, make you like broccoli? I'm like, okay, you add,
it tastes like meat.
No, like, yeah, you add some sauce to it. You add some salt. You take away the broccoli. You put some meat in there. I'm like, wait, it was supposed to be broccoli.
An easier one that you can relate. Yeah. Like, you don't like spinach? What would make you like spinach? Popeye. There you go. We put Popeye on it. Popeye likes spinach. Do you like spinach now? Yeah.
And that didn't work for me as a kid, by the way. I'm like, no, I don't like that shit. Like,
yesterday.
Yeah.
I still
eat really spinach. Interesting. That didn't work for me. My mom did try that. It's like, hey, Popeye likes spinach. I'm like, yeah, I like Popeye, but I don't like spinach. You know, if you want me to get spinach, get rid of push-ups. Yeah, take that spinach out of the can and put some Spam in it or something. Then I'll like spinach.
Do you consider JRPGs and Western RPGs the same genre?
That's a good question. You want me to answer honestly or objectively?
I can guess what the answer would be for both. Because that's kind of an example of sort of one genre becoming into something else.
What happened, Adam?
Like, do you love me or do you really like me?
Yeah, because you already know my, you know, personally, yeah. I'm like... No, yeah,
they're different.
But they're not, though. They're
right.
You know,
it's just one deviated to one direction. The other one stayed in another place.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you know, what about the rest of you guys? What genre would you, mess around with, add some stuff so you could actually like it?
I don't know.
What would make you eat your vegetables?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it because I don't know. It's. I agree with you in that sort of sense where it's like, again, it's like if we start moving away too far away from that sort of thing, then it doesn't become that genre anymore. It's some sort of amalgam genre, you know, it becomes action adventure, which is exactly, you know, it's exactly what action adventure is. Action adventure is an amalgam genre.
Yeah. By the way, Manny, I didn't do this ahead, but I was going to say I'm going to speak for me and Manny because I already knew your answer, too. You and I have almost the same gaming taste in that regard. So yeah, I already knew where you were coming from.
I wouldn't change it, to be honest. It's like, you know what? I have always had a love for fighting games. And to be honest, it's like, all right, you know, in this day and age, though, you know, fighting games don't hit the same way that they used to. But officially changing them, I don't think I'd change them, but I would.
Metal Gear, with their change, and they turn into an open world.
Did I?
You love that game.
Do I?
You did. You told us. You contemplated. You
do I say? Did I say that I love that game?
Yes.
Here's the thing. Essentially, the game, the core aspects of Metal Gear do not change.
Manny, you also already liked that genre, so you didn't need to change in the first place.
No, I was. if Metal Gear stayed as the way it was. You know, as the state of ways, I would have been just perfectly happy. But adding additional things, but the core elements of that thing do not change. You still sneak, you still do it. Now them turning it now, if they decided to do the total opposite direction and turn it into Uncharted, then that would be a problem.
Yes,
but Metal Gear always changed. It was just one mechanic that really stayed constant.
That's the core mechanic of it. So in other words, it still is a stealth game. It's just if you took the idea and expanded it. Now, for a fighting game, again, like what we're talking about, you know, just in general, changing around a fighting game. Okay, what are the core elements of a fighting game? Are the fighting elements, right? But when you start to have add maybe sort of action adventure elements, then you start changing things away. So now you have another. Now you have essentially like, okay, now you can just jump around and do all kinds of other things, and then you can also get into a fight.
Isn't, I mean, for me, the core, if, like, if you ask what's the core mechanic of a fighting game, to me it would be sort of the 1v1 nature.
That is also it too.
Because there's really, like, you can have weapons, you can just do, like, fists and feet, you can have powers, you know, like 3v3, 1v1.
But this, but like, this is why I'm confused. Absolver's a thing, and it didn't stop the fighting genre from being a fighting genre anymore.
I don't really consider that game a fighting game, dude.
Well, and that's fine, but it's...
I mean,
it's,
to be honest, it's an action-adventure game with...
Yeah, you haven't played it, so you can't say.
It's pretty much an action-adventure.
By the way, I'm going to say... Have you played it?
Any idea how deep the combat system goes at all?
By the way, if I were to say that game's not a fighting game, that would have been on my ass, and Manny got the slide. I'm just saying.
No, that's what I'm challenging him right now. Like, you don't. It is a fighting game, and I challenge anybody to actually play it and tell me otherwise.
Yeah, no, I can. Yeah, it, I think. Yeah, it's a fighting game. It's a fighting game. Yeah, it's a fighting game. It's a fighting game.
It's a fighting game, but the lobby is just is a Sunday afternoon samurai theater where you walk around and the guy's like, why are you looking at me? And then that's it. You just start beating the shit out of each other. That's it. It's literally like old 70s kung fu movie. There's just people looking at this fucking shit up. And it's just like, hey, what's up? We're going to do this? So that's it. The lobby is just you walking around, really. So you have the adventure, but the adventure is the lobby. The real core is the fighting.
It's like Dragon Ball FighterZ, except it's not the chibi thing, and you don't have to go anywhere after you meet someone in an arena. I sure as hell hope that made sense.
No, it didn't. It flew right over my head.
It made sense to me. It's like saying, like, okay, how would you like to change a Pokemon game? Like, I would like to change a Pokemon game to not be like RPG encounters. I'd like to be able to... just be like, you know, wandering through the woods, like looking for a thing. And then I don't need like the zoom in screen or anything like that. I want to seamlessly go into the battle sequence and let me have my, you know, my command attacks like a traditional JRPG. And oh, by the way, as I'm hunting through those woods, I'd love to see other players. I'd love to be able to run into Carlos trying to catch the same Pokemon as me and have a turf Pokemon battle. Oh, and you know, be like, you get the fuck out of here. No, you get the fuck out of here. These are my woods. Pokemon battle right now. But, loser leaves.
But Brett, see, you're talking about individual games. I could easily answer that question. We're talking about an entire genre here. Like, if you ask me, how would you make Pokemon more likable to you? I could easily answer that and still keep it a Pokemon game with some of the things you said. But we're talking about an entire genre here. So let's keep it there, you know?
Well, how about JRPGs? Would you like to be able to have random encounters with other people playing JRPGs if you wanted to? No, you hate multiplayer games.
Yeah, fuck no. That's stupid. That would be horrible.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I just this slightly off topic on that. I mean, I think you, one thing that you don't get about the way Tony sees those sorts of multiplayer games is essentially like somebody walking through deciding to take, you know, you're reading a book and then all of a sudden it's like a commutative book and somebody decides to rip a page out of it who's sitting standing next to you while you're trying to enjoy
content. Just because there's other players there doesn't mean you're forced to engage with them.
Yeah, you are. Most of the time, you are. Nope. Monster Hunter,
Fallout,
you're not.
Fallout's a perfect example. You only take chip damage unless you return fire with somebody. So if you don't want to get into a firefight with somebody, you can just walk away.
No, but here's the thing. I still see them. I know they're there. That already takes me out of the experience. Understand?
No, that's what I don't understand.
Like, it's also you're playing the game along the way, right? And then somebody in the room is just deciding to run around in circles. It's like, okay, so now immersion destroyed because this guy is not even in that world. He's being douchebag who wants to run around in circles.
I mean, yeah. People run around in circles in real life.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's one of the things that I like about, like, when I first played World of Warcraft. Like, you'd just be running around in a vast, like, forest where there's like nothing you can see in, on the distance, and then you just stumble across like a group of 10 people dancing. It's like, what the hell are these guys doing?
Right? Like that's odd. That makes for some great stuff. I don't see that as excluding content. The thing that confuses me about your point of view, Tony, is just the whole like them there makes me feel like the immersion is already broken. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, I get the whole, like, I don't like the big name floating across the screen, but like, if they weren't named, if there was just some random jackass, like you're playing Skyrim and some random jackass runs into the archer or the bower and, you know, comes running out back a second later, like notching some fire arrows and then goes and shoots a warthog or something like that. Like, how does that even not seem like, how do you even tell that's not an NPC unless you decide to interact with them?
I'm pretty sure that wouldn't happen in like a normal game if that was like a scripted thing. It's weird. By the way, Manny, I like your book thing, but it's not. I wouldn't say ripping a page out. It's literally I'm there enjoying my book. Some dude just rolls up, gets real close to me, like, "Yo, man, I'm reading too." Oh, let's change the page. I'm like, "Yo, motherfucker, I ain't done yet."
I feel like we're close to an answer actually from Tony. So, Tony, would you say that you would enjoy the multiplayer genre as a whole more if you weren't able to distinguish NPCs from actual players, unless you decided to engage with them?
Maybe, but if I know I'm online, then that already like lets me know that, hey, some of these people may actually be actual people. That's already
all kinda, right. You're just pissing in your own Cheerios on principle then.
I don't know how. By the way, this is the way I see it. Remember how you were complaining about how when you're playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it makes it very abundantly clear that it has microtransactions. That's the same way I feel about constant online. It's like I know I'm there, and it's kind of fucking up the experience for me. I want it to be a solo thing, you know.
So you're definitely not going to play this Fallout 76.
No, you know, here's the thing. We'll see what happens, but right now, everything I'm hearing from it doesn't seem like my type of game.
That's,
you know,
definite. Interaction.
Yeah, I know that's and yeah, exactly. And even the what was it? Yeah, Todd Howard. He was like, "Hey, if you don't want this game, wait for Fallout 5." I'm like, "Okay, I may do that then, Mr. Todd Howard." He said it, you know.
I will take you up on your offer, Mr. Howard.
Was this at the Nintendo, the Sony, the Microsoft, or the Apple conference? Because Bethesda conference.
He's in everything, man. Anyway, let's move on here. Unless anybody wants to jump in, what other genres would you change?
Make RTS if let's say Command and Conquer had a weird fighting mechanic or zoomed in. Like, I like the RTS, especially like the Command and Conquer series, and you can like bunker in and stuff. But what if there was a button I could press, like third person or first person view?
It's called Brutal Legend.
Oh shit, he's got a point there.
Ahead of his time.
Yeah. By the way, Brutal Legend is going to come up later on in the show. No, but Adam, I'm glad you brought it up, because I was thinking, like, because I don't like RTS, the genre, at all, but I can't think of a good way of making it better for me.
How about this? Let's just
it's always the controls. RTS are awesome on PC.
Oh, dude,
let's just kill every game and just make Nier be every genre ever.
There you go. No, just make Yakuza every genre. There you go. It has everything anyway. Too. You know.
Hey, Adam, you just made me think. Like, would you be interested in a hybrid genre where like it's essentially like a checkpoint based first person shooter, but one person is playing the commander like an RTS, and they're actually the ones moving the checkpoints?
Make it so. Let's do it.
So I played the shit out of that game.
So like you'd send like a command, right, to like a, let's say a group of troops, and then you would like press a button, and then you'll turn into one of those troop members.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that the idea with Dust 514 and EVE Online? Like they would connect, and then you are on the ground.
Yeah, that's right. You had a commander, and he'd lead his troops. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, that was more supposed to be you. Like when there were areas in conflict, that's where it would spawn the matches, and then the player victories would determine the actual conflict resolution. It wasn't as seamless as that. Like you couldn't just jump down onto the battlefield. But I'd like to see, like, because we know we can have 32 player lobbies, so 16 players across two groups. One of them is the commander on each side. They're playing a version of RTS, and it's decided by lottery or rank in competitive matches. And then the other 15 are broken into like five squads of three, and or however the guy wants to like break them up. And like, so like you have the person playing the RTS.
The battle, you're working on another battle, one is losing, and then you can zoom in on the captain, see his current situation, and see how you.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Right. Right, they've already done that. That's how Mag worked.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I remember that.
He had, like, a overall commander who commanded the whole, like, 1 to 8 players, and then they were broken up into teams of 64, so there was, a squad leader, and then there's, a team leader. So, yeah, that's how Mag worked.
That didn't work out so well, did it?
Yeah. It's funny. It's interesting. Mag was kind of ahead of its time in a lot of ways, but that shit did not take off, you know?
Nope. And also in terms of RTS games where you can join the battle in mid-flow, Divinity Dragon Commander allows you to do that, as you can command your troops and then turn into a dragon on the battlefield and fuck some shit up. And to further go to your whole setting waypoints as a commander, as you sit back and do the team or you navigate the battlefield, technically Battlefield 4 allows you to do that. Where you can play it on your tablet, and then you can set waypoints for actual people playing, and then they can go there and get more points.
Two games tried it. I remember
all the orders.
Division was trying to do that too with the app shit.
People saw it as cheating. So
yeah. By the way, Brian, at the end of that, you should add, and you guys would know this if you played PC games.
PC is the test bed.
That was not a master racy enough comment.
I felt the master racy underneath. I just wanted him to bring it to the surface, man.
Hey, if you play these games, then you'd know about them. if all you do is play God of War and Spider-Man, then hey, that's your scope.
There we go. That's what I wanted to hear.
Hey, nice. I'm playing Assassin's Creed 2, Brian.
Oh, Assassin who? Oh,
I know. I'm a real outlier. Yeah. And you know what? We're planning on playing Red Dead.
Oh, wow. That's three shades of black right there.
What?
That's racist.
Oh, man. Anyway, Brian, what about you, man? What genre would you change, man?
I wouldn't change a genre. I just change one game and, not get rid, but change the one thing that annoys me about this one game. Call of Duty, I can't stand the idea of kill streaks. I find that they don't reward people that play well. They just reward people that play in the most irritating way possible.
I agree.
I can't stand that.
Still the most kills.
You just can't reward people for getting kills in game modes that don't focus on kills. For example, if you have an in-team deathmatch, fine. You know, the whole objective is to kill the other team. But if you have it in a game mode like Domination, the idea is to capture the points, so King of the Hill. But then why are you still rewarding people that get the most kills? There's many ways to get the most kills in King of the Hill. Either A, sit back and pick people off, or B, be aggressive. And the point is, not many people are actually that aggressive, and hence they still get the kill streaks. So change it to a point where it's not based on how many kills you get in a row, but some sort of point-based system where if you do more things relative to the objective, then you get more points. You get more points, you get the kill streaks, or you get the point streaks, or you get the actual streaks things. And they don't reset. I'm sick and tired of hey, you were 1 kill away, or you were X points away, and then now you reset the whole thing because some guy had an RPG and killed you. Really? I don't see how that's my fault. If someone shoots me in the back with an RPG, or if someone's randomly spinning around and hits me with a sniper rifle, I don't see how I could have done shit about that.
A few years ago, that was an issue people complained about, and then they created a perk. The perk to let you carry over your kills, so that way you can continue your kill streak. So you just have to use a perk for it. But yeah, that was a big issue for a lot of people.
Remember in Call of Duty, all you need is just get one or two kills, get a UAV, get one more, four kills, get a predator missile.
UAV four gets you
a predator, a predator missile. Once you get the predator missile, you get a fucking chopper. Then it's
what was the best one? 10 and you get the
25 was a new
25. That's it. 25. Get the new.
Yeah. It was some of the cheesy bull ever. Cause certain things that you can do to maximize the crap out of it. There's one map where it was all just wasteland and no buildings. So hence that's the map that everyone played on. Get nukes, and then all they did was they just had the first two were just airstrikes, and the first one was an airstrike and a Harrier jet, followed by an attack helicopter, and then the nuke.
Yep.
And it all just built. So hence, if you get 7 kills, then you're sorted, and then you just win. I don't see how that's even a thing.
And by the way, that the person who summons all of those perks doesn't hardly even have to move after like a certain point. They just have to stay there. They don't even, it's crazy.
It just promotes gameplay that's not exciting to do or watch. Like, if you actually get it in the legit way, in that you are aggressive, you are controlling, then yeah, it is rewarding. But then if you get it in like most boring way ever, then it's just the dullest thing ever. Like, I had like a couple of them where I just sat back and just sniped people like the whole match, and I got it.
People find that fun sniping. I mean, it looks great in movies. Everybody knows from the Which Was Saving Private Ryan. Remember that dude saying his little prayer and sniping people? Like, yo, that's badass. He's catching people in motion.
Shit, the sniping mission from Modern Warfare was probably one of the best. Oh
yeah, I was nuts. I'm still stuck on that. I'm veteran on the remaster. You know, at the end when you're at the carnival and trying to do the extract.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on here. Mr. Matt Wheaton, who's actually in the chat room with us, very enthusiastic about mechs. All right. Mm-hmm. His first question is actually specifically for Adam, me, Chris, and Manny. But everybody's free to join in, obviously. What would be the most metal game you've ever played? Can I just say the obvious? Manny, go ahead, just say it.
Yeah, it was Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend, come on now.
Yeah, it was Brutal Legend.
Yeah, it was the most metal game ever. That is, you know, not even close. The whole game is why you go into a metal game. Yeah, Doom is very, is a very metal. Yeah, Doom is another one in there. It's not like heavy metal genre, but it has the feeling of metal. Like, that is a very metal game in that sense. So, but yeah, I'm just going for the literal one because just Brutal Legend, you're in a literal metal world. The whole soundtrack is metal.
You're in a heavy metal world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I think that's it. Actually, what's the name of that game? I'm forgetting now. The game I recommended to you, the side-scrolling one. That was fucking metal, too.
Oh, Slain?
Slain, yes. That's another one.
Slain's got a killer soundtrack, man.
Yeah, the game isn't that great, but yeah, it does have a soundtrack.
And when you beat a boss, he just starts headbanging.
Yes.
You can throw the horns up and stuff.
Yeah.
What else? I think that we just named all the big ones, to be honest.
What about Duke Nukem? Wasn't that like
action game, but it's not metal.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it that.
I don't know.
Also, a game doesn't exactly need to be considered metal. Could just also be the content.
Yeah,
like
Doom. Yeah. Was Matt Wheaton says. I'm glad he's here. He goes, mine would be Brutal Legend, of course. Splatterhouse, I could see that. I could see why you're saying that. Lords of Thunder, okay. Slain, Fist of Northstar, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, Fist of Northstar.
Lost Paradise, yeah. Yeah, because it could also just be the feeling, too, you know? It doesn't have to be, like, the actual thing, but Doom, definitely that. Loaded, I don't know, I don't think I played that one.
That was a classic on PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation.
What's going on all day digital?
Killing people in an insane asylum. And it says blood.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's other games, but that's the shit we got off the top of our heads. All right, and Matt, I'm glad you're here for this because his question is, what are your thoughts on the Yakuza developers possibly doing a Phantasy Star reboot or something? Now, Matt, is this like, because I looked this up, I couldn't find any links. Is this like a hypothetical thing? Like, would we like them to do it, or is this something that's actually happening and you want our thoughts on it? Because if they're doing it, that would be pretty insane. But I'm guessing this is more of a hypothetical thing. Like, hey, guys, what would you think if Yakuza guys did it? I don't know about that. Like, Yakuza guys, I don't really see them as an RPG studio. But then again, who knows? You know? At this point, I want anybody to bring back Phantasy Star. And I'm not talking about fucking Phantasy Star. I'm talking about the real Phantasy Star. We haven't had that since the fucking 90s. You know? Yeah. Manny, you and I have been talking about this forever. Like, where are we going to get Phantasy Star 5? You know? Mm-hmm. What the fuck is that? Like, they just went on to his online stuff. Like, that's cool, but can we get the real shit back, too? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was hypothetical. I don't care who it is. Yakuza guys, I don't care. Bring it back, Sega. Bring back, and the real Phantasy Star, too. You know? They brought this shit back in a fucking mobile game. Like, come on, Sega, what are you doing, man? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that shit.
That's them committing without committing.
Yeah, nobody wants that shit. I remember I got hyped as a motherfucker when he announced that. Turns out it's a mobile game. I'm like, come on, man. Bring back the real Phantasy Star, you know? So, yeah, I don't care. I don't care what studio does it. Just anybody. Bring it back, please, man. All right, next up, Mr. Figs. So, before his question goes, I wanted to apologize for the question by Jason Schreier. I always post my questions before your show on Thursday. No problem, man. It's all good, you know? So his one question, this is a little bit of a doozy, right? So he goes, I know you guys can't answer this because you all work in industry. We don't all work in industry. Some of us do, not all of us.
Some
of us. Yeah. But has there ever been a game you guys wanted to fail? He goes, for me, I honestly want Battlefield 5 and The Last of Us 2 to fail. Let me say I loved playing as Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn and Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider reboots. They were both strong female characters and amazing games. Developers of those games didn't have any agenda. They just wanted to make great games. My issue with Battlefield 5 and Last of Us 2 is that developers are preaching forced inclusivity and are actually toxic and hostile. Ironically, they are being the least accepting of anyone, calling gamers sexist and not to buy the games when gamers ask for a historical accuracy or to play as Joel. All right, there's a lot to unpack there, but for the first one, no, I think we kind of answered this before. We don't want any game to fail. That's kind of kind of fucked up. Why would you want that? You know?
Yeah.
We definitely don't want Battlefield to disappear. We don't want to give Activision Call of Duty a monopoly.
You do not want that, you know? No, so yeah, again, somebody did ask us, like, kind of.
We definitely don't want The Last of Us to fail because we're all ponies.
Yes, right? Giddy up, right? Yeah.
I wouldn't say fail. I mean,
No, I don't want any game to fail. That's like, because think about it. Like, you basically want, even if the game, you know, even if the game is shit, right? For example, you don't want those people out of a job. You know what I'm saying? So you got to consider that. You can't just be like, oh, I want the game to fail because it's doing, even if it's doing fucked up shit, you know, it's like you don't really want that, you know?
I'm not going to get too deep into the minutiae about...
neither am I, you know?
But, I mean, even if it did have aspects of that, and let's say it does, I don't see The Last of Us 2 being a horrible game. Or being like anything not worthy of someone to experience that is just open to that type of game. Like,
yeah,
in general. Like, Naughty Dog has a track record. They don't really make horrible games.
No, they
don't. Just because they have something or aspects of something that you disagree with, you might be thinking they're pressing on an agenda or whatever. If at the end of the day it makes it a bad game, then you can call them out for that. But they still have the benefit of the doubt right now. We don't know if whatever your critiques are about your preconceived notions about the games are, like, if it's affecting it right now, like if it's making it a horrible game or not.
Yeah, and as for Battlefield 5, because I did play the Norwegian mission with the girl, right? It wasn't the girl with the robot arm, it was just a regular girl. Like, yeah, that did happen. Like, yeah, you didn't have women in the front lines and shit, except for the Russian army. But freedom fighters came in all shapes and sizes and genders. So that wasn't historical disaccuracy. I know that's not a real word, you know? And even the mission I played, it was based off something that really happened, but... you know, video gamified, you know? So I think we kind of talked about this before. It's like, yeah, you know, if a game's supposed to be historically accurate, you want that, but at the same time, you got to give it a little bit of leeway because the game still needs to be fun too, you know?
It also still needs to be a game.
Exactly.
And by the way, we played as Ellie in the first game, so it's like...
Yeah. My thing is, this is what I want, Carlos, and I'm glad you bring it up. I want at least one mission with Joel, so it'll be balanced. You know what I'm saying? Remember in the first game, we had Joel for the whole game, and then you had that one level with Ellie, right? So give me that in reverse. Give me Ellie for the main game, for the whole game.
Boyfriend Todd, would you?
Boyfriend? She ain't got no boyfriend, son. But I would like that. It's like, you give me one mission with Joel, just like you give me one mission with Ellie, and it would be a nice balance, you know? Listen, as long as I can kill motherfuckers, I'm happy, man. You know, even if she's like, girl power! I'm like, whatever. Let me kill motherfuckers.
DLC. I enjoyed her DLC.
That was a good DLC.
She's not a big, strong dude, you know?
But she is now, you know?
Yeah, but at the time, so you have that. It's sort of like when Resident Evil Girl, remember when you had to crawl around?
Yeah, oh, shit. Yo, okay. Joel DLC, give me that. Balance it out. That's all I'm saying. Give me a Joel level. Give me a Joel DLC. We'll be good, you know?
Yeah, because Ellie is just as important to the story as Joel is.
Of course, yeah. She's crucial to it. You know, you can't dismiss her and stuff. And by the way, I should just say this. Even though, you know, the journalist had that specific reaction to that scene, I don't really feel the game's pushing that. You know, not really. But the Battlefield guys, they fucked up. But they said, oh, don't buy our game. Are you stupid? That's why your sales are down now, your pre-orders. Don't tell people not to buy your shit. You know,
might listen to you.
They might listen to you. They will listen to you. You know, come on, guys. But now I think I speak for all of us here. We don't want any games to fail. No. That's just
fun. I don't
want to
see any games.
No, that's job loss and stuff. And then when it fails and then they shut down, then everybody starts bitching at this.
Yeah. All right, man. Moving on. The man.
Something like real quick.
Of course.
I've done that in like a long time.
Yes.
Yes.
But we're not finished yet, Brian.
We're not finished until Brian's done.
Yes.
Yes. I agree with Tony. I don't want games to fail. But at the same time, there are trends that I don't want to exist. I think that's pretty much the sentiment of everyone here.
Oh, yeah. There's
things in the games that we don't like, whether it's stuff outside of the game or stuff inside the game. I'm not going to go into specifics, but there's some things that that don't make sense in games. And I think that's what he's trying to say. Yeah, we don't agree with games failing, because then, again, puts guys out of jobs, and gaming industry is really tough enough as it is, as we've seen with Telltale and all sorts. So, yeah, we don't want that to fail. But at the same time, there are certain things that shouldn't be there in the first place. So I think it's don't succeed, but don't fail, as long as they recognize that this is what made it not succeed.
But here's we're happy. But here's the issue. Like I don't know. I don't know if I read it wrong, but it seems like Mr. Figgs wants them to fail because, like, it's like
that's exactly what he's saying. He wants them to fail because of that. Yeah.
We don't know if these games are gonna suck. Like that's the whole thing. Like you're rooting to fail. Like if someone is harming the industry in a way that is just going to bring everything else down, then I would be open to listening to that kind of stuff. But we don't know if these games are gonna harm the industry or not. Shit, The Last of Us 2, like when we watched that shit on E3 on the streams, we went crazy for that stuff. Like everybody,
is that gameplay?
Is that gameplay, man? Is that
the best fucking part, son.
they're giving us what we want, and it's like, yeah, there might be some things that it's just like it's that you might see that it's like an agenda or whatever. But
games aren't for everybody. Certain genres.
Yeah, we said that before, didn't we? Not every game's for everybody, man. Yeah, you know.
And here's where I'll end it. Like there are different certain. There's another medium of entertainment that I will not say what it is that is doing what you're doing. Porn. And look how bad they're doing right now.
Yeah. You know, me and Chris are like, yeah, we know. Somebody here may not work in that industry, but we'll leave that alone. All right. Moving on here with the guy with my favorite name. I'm sorry, you guys can't top this one. Spacey's Pleasure Yacht. So his question is, what are your favorite stealth games? Which one of these do you play purely stealth with no aggro? Very interesting twist there. I like that.
No aggro?
Yeah, like 100% pure stealth.
Adam's
like, oh, fuck that. I should kill everybody.
that's like Metal Gear. The Metal Gear series.
That's the Metal Gear series.
Yes, Metal Gear. But the thing is, I try. Here's what I always do. I always try to be as stealthy as possible, but I want the option in case things go fucked up, I can just kill motherfuckers. That's why I didn't like the original Splinter Cell games. Like, as soon as you got caught, you were pulling you out of the mission. I'm like, really? I'm in the middle of Russia, motherfucker. You're pulling me out? So that's why I like the new Splinter Cells. Like, oh, I fucked up. Time to kill motherfuckers.
Or you Tony, or like the side missions in Spider-Man?
What do you mean?
Like the Mary Jane.
Jane, it's like, come on, son. Let me. Mary Jane pops out and starts shooting motherfuckers.
It's funny though, cause whatever you get caught, the animation's that's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, but literally, guy going, we're pulling you out of the mission. Like, what? Really? I'm in the middle of this shit. Metal Gear, Hitman's really becoming good lately, man. I really like what they've done with the last couple of games. I like the last Splinter Cell game, Blacklist. Bring that shit back. And even though I've never played more than one of these games, I did like Thief, the last Thief. That was really good. You know,
that was like Thief Light, though, that one.
It was Thief Light, yeah. But it was like one of the things I like. First person game that actually had good parkour. That's why I like Dying Light so much. I'm like, oh shit, they actually got it right, you know? Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. What about the rest of you guys? What are your favorite stealth games?
I would obviously say Metal Gear. I mean, you know, the thing is, like, yeah, I kind of swore off a little bit of the Splinter Cell one because just for that original one and how it was, you know, it's like, oh, you know, we're going to stop right there. We're pulling out of the mission. I'm like, come on, guys. It's actually not a lot of games that have or, you know, in the stealth genre.
Yeah, or a lot of good ones, we should say. You know,
I mean, because here's the thing, like, there are some games that have very good stealth aspects.
Yes, like Batman, you know.
Batman does, you know, even like, you know, like it's a very kind of light version of it. But yeah.
Yeah.
But even that didn't end the game. It just gave you the option. If not, then.
Yeah, you can literally be a badass and just take everybody out, right? Or. or you just whip everybody up, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. There's a lot of games that have good stuff in them, but like proper stealth games, there's not too many of them.
Like, yes. You know, I've in Uncharted, like the recent Uncharted, was it 4?
Yeah.
Uncharted 4 had a pretty damn good stealth aspect to it.
I went through most of that game without even shooting, to be honest. That's how good the stealth was in that game. Carlos, what were you going to say?
Would you consider Inside a stealth game?
That's a good question.
Did you play Inside, Tony?
Of course. I played it on PS4 and I played it on Switch this year.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no, I didn't play it on PS4. I played it on PC. On my PC?
I didn't do this.
Yeah. I played that shit twice. It was a good game. Carlos, I'm going to say it's not a stealth game, but it definitely has stealth in it.
It's like a stealth platformer.
Yes.
That's what I would say. That one had good stealth mechanics.
Yeah, but that game will not allow you to get aggro because you can't even attack,
oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like you get caught, they shoot that thing that hooks into you. You're
yeah.
That's just funny, man. Or when you're swimming and those freaking mermaid things catch you.
Oh man,
yo, that shit, man. That shit is stressful, man.
Manny, did you play Inside?
No, I haven't.
You'll like it. It's only 2 hours, man. You'll like it. Well, plus, yeah, I'm no spoilers. Those last 20 minutes, man. Oh shit, mm-hmm. Carlos, you already know, son.
Yo, man.
Yeah.
Talking about aggro, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, I haven't played Inside, and I also wanted to play Rhyme. I haven't played Rhyme yet either.
You haven't had a rhyme or reason to
play. Yeah, you know.
But don't dumb.
Yeah.
Don't dumb.
Right.
Wait, that's the wrong one.
Yeah. Anybody else? Last of Us is not a stealth game, but it has stealth in it though.
Yeah. Last of Us has stealth in it.
Again, that brings up to the shit we were saying before. It's like there are a lot of games with a lot of good stealth in them, but proper stealth games, yeah.
Action adventure genre is just the amalgam genre.
That's why it's my favorite genre, man.
Wait. I could have swore there was a trophy to complete the whole game of Last of Us in stealth.
Yes. Is there?
But that doesn't make it a stealth game.
Doesn't make it a stealth game.
That means it could be a stealth game. It's not required for combat. No combat required means it could be a stealth game.
But it's not a stealth game at its core. Understand?
I see what you
like. They don't sell Last of Us. They don't sell Last of Us as like it's a stealth mission game. You know, they don't sell
exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting because
Splinter Cell still has that. I mean, what was it? Hybrid Heaven also had it, right? By Konami, that was a stealth game too, as I remember.
Hybrid Heaven? Never even heard of that.
Enough shit again.
Man, you stop making up stuff, man.
I don't make shit up. That's Adam.
No, man. I just spread fake news. There's a difference.
Yeah, anyway, I think we got that one covered. Moving on here. Hashling and Slasher, man. By the way, he cheated. He actually asked 3 questions, but we're going to only answer the first 2.
Uh-oh. You being sassy?
Yeah, but I'm going to... Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead, man.
Hitman.
Oh, yeah.
The Hitman series.
Yeah.
Great.
Hitman.
Yeah. I actually did say Hitman earlier, but I guess...
Oh, you did?
Right. Yeah, I did. That's right. Yeah, Hitman is great. Yeah, like I said. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say this now. I'm glad you bring this up. Hitman... Adam cutting me off. Go ahead.
No one said this. I'll say it. Hitman.
Motherfucker. Damn it. Damn it. Twice.
Yeah. I'm going to say, and I said this in my preview of Hitman, like, that's the only big AAA stealth game in town right now. Splinter Cell's gone. Metal Gear ain't around, you know?
I got one. All right. I'll throw one. It's kind of still around. It just came out with a new version. Mark of the Ninja. That's all stealth.
Okay.
That's awesome. A side-scroller, right?
Yeah.
I never played that,
but okay. Yeah, that counts. There you go.
That's the same game. That's the same guys that made Shank.
Yep. Yeah.
Just got remastered.
I mean,
played Tenchu. Tenchu's good, but
Tenchu's
stressful, man.
Tenchu hasn't existed in how long?
You could still name it. It doesn't matter how old it is.
I guess so. All right.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, there you go. It doesn't matter how old it is, man. He didn't put a statute of limitations.
Whenever you play GTA and you have like what's it called, like 3 stars or whatever on you, and it becomes a stealth game.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Well, do you think Assassin's Creed is a stealth game? Because it definitely started as one, and it's still one at heart.
I don't. Yeah, that is a good question though. I don't consider one, but it has a lot of heavy stealth in it too, so it can be. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It started as
one. Like, Black Flag isn't a stealth game. Yeah. Black Flag is a pirate game.
Yeah.
You said it can't.
Yeah. No. But the core. I'm still gonna say no, but I see what you're saying. By the way, the first Assassin's Creed. Yes, it did start off as a stealth game, but I didn't play that one. As soon as I found my target, I ran right up to him and stabbed him in his stomach, and then found a place to hide. I did that with every mission. You know.
Well, I don't know if the ability to not play it as a stealth game is what defines a stealth game, though. I don't know if the extra options change its genre.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, it's like that's the only way you could,
new one, like there are the forts are so big and they're so well populated that you can't really realistically run in and just sword everybody. You can't accomplish your mission like that. You are forced to stealth.
Yeah.
So you still consider this new one in Assassin's Creed? Because a lot of people are saying that this is like a completely different type of game, just with the branding of AC. That it just doesn't
have anything to do with the Assassins or the Templars, but the core mechanics and gameplay are still definitely Assassin's Creed. It reminds me more of Black Flag, but I'd still consider it, honestly, having played it, I'd still consider it at its core a stealth game. Mostly because like that everything centers around being stealthy and assassinating people still.
I wish you would have asked us what our favorite games that have stealth in them, because then you could say that, and then you could say The Last of Us, then you could say Batman. That fucking went, and we're changing the question now. Adam, there you go, man. Last of Us, there you go.
Yeah, Last of Us.
Yeah, Batman. Assassin's Creed, because Assassin's Creed does have really good stealth in it, you know? It has really good stealth in it, and that's a core component of it, you know?
If we're changing it to that, like, Skyrim has surprisingly good stealth. Like, almost broken.
All right, thank you.
Almost broken, Brett. Really?
No. It's completely broken. Like, look, the game is known, like, the most powerful build is the stealth archer. Like, people play those games stealthy. Every single character I play, I end up playing a stealth character in Fallout or Elder Scrolls.
People that kill streaks in
Call of Duty. Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, shit. Oh man. By the way, guys, if you're in the chat, you may want to start asking us some questions, because other than that, we got one more. If we don't got any more, we're going to wrap it up. All right, so the next question. Oh, yeah, we're still up to Hashling and Slasher. Where the fuck are we right now? Oh, no, that's what
think.
I'm confused, right? Okay, yeah. Now we're going to answer his question. We got totally fucking sidetracked. Anyway, Hashtag Nostalgia, do you think that there could possibly be too much detail in Red Dead Redemption 2 to where it feels more overwhelming than fun? Very interesting question. I was thinking about that too. That is actually something I'm worried about, because I heard some people comparing it to the
this is how we'll yeah. know.
Go ahead.
How we'll know. If you have to take a shit while you're on the horse, if you have to take a shit and you're trying to figure out where to go, and that becomes an issue and you can't do missions because then you ate something bad and your stomach's messed up for like 2 days in the game, then they say they're very detailed with everything. You can eat too much, gain weight. So like the old games that
you gotta bathe yourself. You're gonna be funky. You gotta shave.
You gotta do potty, right? Potty has to be part of it.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. What if you're playing a game, your character has to take a shit? You can't do the mission now because he has to take a shit.
Wait, so in Red Dead, if you eat a bunch, your character gains weight?
Yeah, just like San Andreas, man. Remember that shit?
Right on.
You know, so
I look forward to seeing horribly fat people in Red Dead Online. Yeah.
And if you don't bathe, people are going to be like, yo, man, you fucking stink.
and the hair growth and everything happens in real time.
Yeah.
So as time goes on, it'll take a long time to grow a beard. So if you want to cut it, you have to think how long it took for you to grow that beard.
Yeah, I'm going to be Grizzly Adams, man. I'm going to be like, you know, it's going to be crazy, you know. But that is a concern. Like, how much micromanaging are you going to have to do with your character? Because even GTA 4 got a little bit bored. I'm like, yo, how much of this shit do I need to do? I got to go out with my friends. Got to take care of my girlfriend. I got to do all this shit. I'm like, come on, son. Yeah.
Stop doing all that. Girls breaking out with me because I need to.
Yeah. Like, I realized, I'm like, yo, Tony, you're like doing all this micromanaging shit more than actually playing the game. You know, like, fuck. Yeah. So I hopefully they'll like give you an option to maybe opt out of it, because that is my kind of worry. That's just going to be just too much in there, you know?
I mean, you can be a generic character with a grizzly beard and stanky ass.
You stanky ass, dude, but I can't be having that. What if you can't do a mission because you stink too much? You're like, yeah, I would give you this, but nah, son, I don't.
Nah, I think it'll just be flavor interactions. Like, people will talk about, like, you haven't bathed in a week. You're like, no, I haven't. I don't care.
Yeah. Fucking flies buzzing around, you know?
Well, Snake has the bath thing, remember? And 5.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah.
Too long.
Yeah. He gets stinky. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like, if I only have to bathe every, like, 5 in-game days, then okay, you know? But if it's every night or whatever.
And just to bring it up, because, I mean, it is you're back in a brothel. If you're going now realistic, or
yeah, Carlos, remind me to tell you a story based on that after the show.
Oh shit, we'll do.
Oh man, yeah, you're right about that. What if you go to the brothel, right? You come in funky. Are those girls gonna service you? You know, they'd be like, nah, son.
Yeah, you just pay more.
Yeah. Oh shit, that's a good point.
The game,
like, do they want to pay there or not?
Yeah, you're right about that. It's like, hey, you can still do it. It's just you have to pay more because you're funky.
I could see it being like, you know, if you go and do a bunch of missions and, like, you get covered in blood and whatnot, like, you got to shower before you go into town or people are going to react to the blood all over your clothes.
Yeah, that's another thing. There's going to be blood on your clothes, you know. People will react to that.
I think, again, it won't be limiting. It would just be flavor. Like, if you go rolling in after you just massacred 5 people, they might be like, my God, he's covered in blood, blah, 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 and all this other stuff. But that might be cool. Like, you might like that, even, like, where you go rolling in and you're like, that's right, motherfucker, I am covered in bandit blood. Say something.
Yeah. No, I think you might read about that, because apparently, if you turn – I know I'm also about to say some fake news right now. Okay, the story was that basically if you turn off the mini-map, the game actually – you know, the NPCs will tell you where to go. It turns out that even if you have the mini-map, they'll still do that anyway. It's just you don't notice it as much. You know, like, if you turn it off, you're probably going to be more aware of people telling you where to go. But if you have it on, you're going to be like, hey, whatever, I don't care what he just said. I'm going to go to that spot right now. You know, so my point is, like, the game is going to have dynamic, you know, dialogue. So I could see that. It's like, you can still do the mission you're going to go. It's just they may tell you how funky you are beforehand, you know. It's like, boy, you sure you don't want to bathe beforehand? Like, all right, you know.
Hey, you're one right motherfucker.
You're right, boy. Yeah, it sounds
like something more like a Grand Theft Auto comic.
Yeah,
a Red Dead comic.
Oh, I think they're going to bleed into each other's territory, too. I also look forward to, like, if you gain a bunch of weight, like, people calling you fat ass.
Oh my God. Yeah, can you imagine being
getting really offended by it and it making news?
Did San Andreas ever do that?
Yeah, remember, you can make him fat. You go to the cheeseburger place and you just eat.
No. Like,
you can make him muscly.
You make him muscly.
You can work out. Yeah.
I know you can get fat, but there wasn't anything that would just, like, tell you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People on the street would diss you. You know?
Oh shit.
Like, remember when you got jacked up, like, yo, you looking swole. You know, like, they would compliment you. And your sex appeal would go up if you're jacked too, you know?
And it's Rockstar, so, like, it's not like something out of the blue. They could probably do this.
I'm basing this off of what Rockstar games do, you know. So I could see that.
Dude, okay. Rockstar Courts controversy.
Yes.
Put it in there that people call you a fat ass if your character is fat. And they will explode with free publicity.
Yeah, you're right, because of shaming and all that. You're right about that. And Rockstar will not give a fuck, you know?
And this time and age, it's definitely going to happen.
I mean, they can't really do, like, they can't shock people with sex anymore. Game of Thrones happened. So I think that might be the direction that they go.
Yeah. GZDR says, tell the brothel girls you're French. Okay. Yeah. By the way, shout out to Rockstar, because think about it like this. They actually had, like, a team of people dedicated to creating accurate horse ball physics. That's pretty awesome. Like you really don't want to support the game now, you know? 100 extra hours.
I wonder if they got assigned that or if people volunteered. Because if they did like an open call, like, okay, who wants to work on the horse balls? There'd be five guys that are like, wait, really? Yes, I'm down.
Animals. It's other animals too. It's not just a horse.
Oh shit! Oh, wait, pig balls and shit.
Dude, you know that there's some dude in Rockstar who's horribly proud about rendering all the pig testicles.
That's right. Like,
dude, all the horse balls in that game, all me, buddy.
Oh man, I don't even want to say this. No, I'm not.
Save it for after the show.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh God, I shouldn't do. No, I'm not gonna do it because if I ask, you know, if I ask this guy's question, then everybody else is gonna start asking three questions. We ain't having that. But then again, we're on Twitch right now, so we may change that rule. We'll see what happens, people. But I think we're actually done here for the night, which is
crazy.
Yeah, we're back to our normal times here. Yeah, we're done. We're not gonna fluff it up either. We don't do that around here. All right, man. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a question. Oh,
excuse me.
We're rolling out motherfucking back.
We have a contest.
We have a contest, people. I should have said this in the top of the show. All right. So you only have a couple of days to win Red Dead Redemption 2. If you haven't already, make sure you follow us here on the Twitch. Follow us on Twitter and over on Twitter. Go to the pinned tweet. It asks you what your favorite Rockstar game is. You reply to that. And we're going to put you in our little, Manny, what the hell? It's just a randomizer, right? We're going to put you in a randomizer.
It's just a randomizer.
And we're going to pick you at random. We're going to announce you live on episode 207 of Throwdown, which is this Thursday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, man. So, yeah, go over to Twitter. We got all the details and all that. Good luck. Again, contest, Monday now, basically, you know? We're going to end this shit on Thursday. So get in there, man. Get in there. You never know who's going to win, you know? It's going to be crazy. All right. I think now we're good, you know? All right. All right. Thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in the comment section of this episode on YouTube or over on the Coalition. We'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe and Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and the YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos, we'll see you next week, man, or 2 weeks from now. Have fun.
Or three, man.
Three, yeah, damn.
I hope everyone enjoys Red Dead, because I know I won't. Later, people.
Shit.
Brett Murdoch.
I'll wait to play Red Dead with you, Carlos, purely out of solidarity.
Appreciate that.
Nice. Adam Vale.
Have a good week, people.
And Brian Munjoma. Yeah. Brian Munjoma.
You guys do not have any idea what you're in for when Attack on Titan Season 5
drops. I knew it.
It gets dark. Not Season 4, Season 5. It gets dark.
By the way, people...
You know how people get... Season 4 is bad? Nah, it gets much worse.
We're gonna spend a whole hour after this show trying to avoid spoilers from Brian.
Yeah, all right. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday, man. Good luck with the contest. Later.
Peace.
Later, guys.
Yo, when Levi gives birth... Oh, my gosh.
This motherfucker.